Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series on the vision of our student ministry. Over these few weeks, we break down our three-word statement, belong, believe, become, and how it directs what we do as a student ministry. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. Amen. Well, like I said, we didn't fib to you guys. So we did game, we did musical worship, and now we're going to do a message. So if you have your Bibles this morning, which we encourage you to bring them every week, we've always got the scriptures on the screen, but I think there's something about opening up an ink and paper Bible. So go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 1, and we'll get there in a minute. We are doing a vision series every year. People have started to catch on. So I'll just out it. We always do a vision series where we know we've got sixth graders coming in. We know that this is like a fresh start. People are coming back from the summer. Maybe you've been on vacation for multiple weeks. Or did anybody get to get away for like a whole month of this summer? Anybody? Just gone. Just for a month. Man, that sounds glorious. You were gone for 2 weeks. That sounds amazing as well. I have not had my vacation yet. I'll take my vacation after Epic, okay? That's when I go on vacation. I go to Cherry Grove. And we go there. It's north of North Myrtle is where I tell people, please don't come there because it's nice and quiet. And so we're really looking forward to that. But maybe you haven't been here in a while, or maybe this is your first time here because you're in sixth grade. And so we like to refresh everybody, catch everybody up, get everybody on the same page, and start out with this thing we call our vision series. So for the next 3 weeks leading up essentially to Epic, we'll be talking about the three words that make up our vision here at FGS, both high school and middle school, which is you guys. And this has become, these three words have become the vision for our ministry of all of Next Gen now. So if you just moved up with us from fifth grade to sixth grade, you've probably heard these words before. Does anybody want to take a jab at what the three words are? You might be able to cheat already. Yes, my man in the orange, my hockey friend. Belong, believe, become. How many, raise your hand if you've heard these words before used in this structure. And you knew that how many of you knew that this was our vision? Anybody? Maybe you would have had to think for a minute, but you could get there. Maybe you would have to have some hints, but you would get there. Good. You can put your hands down. Love it. Yes, belong, believe, become. So our church has like an overall mission statement, like, hey, this is what we're going after as a church. But then kind of each department has like, all right, so what's our role? Like, how are we going to fulfill that? So when it comes to us in kids and student ministry, which we call our Next Gen ministry, we've summed up kind of our role, the vision for these ministries in these three words: belong, believe, become. And this morning we are going to cover the first one of these, which is belonging. Does anybody want to go ahead and take a jab at how we would kind of talk about belonging? Anybody want to do that? Help give us some words to define. Somebody that hasn't answered yet. We'll let somebody else. Anybody? Unless nobody wants to try. All right, you want to try it? Well, how would you describe belonging? Yeah. Yeah, like you belong to God. Like if you're a part of his family, if you've accepted Jesus as your savior, if you've been saved by grace, then yeah, you belong with God. Really good. That's definitely a part of it. We'll give some more definition as we go through. This is good. Maybe this is why we need these refreshers every year. So one of the things that I think about when I think of belonging is, where do I feel the most at home? And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. And don't worry, nothing weird's gonna happen, okay? We're not gonna like slime you while you get your eyes closed or something, okay? Or squirt you with a water gun or something, okay? But I want you to think about the place that you feel the most at home. Like, is there a physical place? Is there a couch or a chair? Is there a smell in the air? Is there a certain person? Maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's family members. Some of you are like, no, please, no family members. Who are the people that you feel the most at home with? Is there food that's associated with it? Is there music? Like, what are the things when you think about the place where I feel the most at home, the most welcomed, the most like I belong, what is associated with that? You can open your eyes now. For me, one of the places that I imagine that I would feel the most at home is this picture. Tech team, will you put this picture up on the screen? This place right here, all right? We got the watermark, okay, but it's okay. The idea is the same. Does anybody have an idea of what this might be right here? Anybody? Yes? A hobbit hole, that's right. So this is not from one of the Lord of the Rings movies, which if you're not familiar, okay, that's fine. But the hobbits are like these short little people. They're like 3 feet tall. They got big, hairy feet, okay? And which kind of doesn't make sense. Why are you little with big feet? I'm short. I have tiny feet. So I imagine that I would feel the most at home with these people. I've always felt like a kindred spirit with hobbits. Some would say that I am a hobbit myself, but just this like fire in the fireplace, just like chill, candles lit, like looks like a rainy little forest out there. We got books on the bookshelf for reading, just like looks really comfy, really cozy. And I would put some of my favorite people in here, maybe some of my favorite foods, and I would feel the most at home, the most welcome, the most like I belong. Like belonging does have, when we talk about belonging, it for sure has something to do with, hey, we want you to know that you belong with God. We want you to know that he welcomes you. But there's just a general sense of belonging when we talk about the word belong that we hope when you join us, whether it's here on a Sunday morning or on a retreat like Epic or for like our fall party that's coming up or in your small group, that whatever place you find us in and wherever you jump in with us, that you would know, like, no, you belong here, that there's people who care about you, that this is a safe place, that there's people who know your name, they're praying for you, they know some of the ins and outs of your life, that there's fun here. They're like, we can play ridiculous games like head, shoulders, knees, cup and get, like, more hype than probably any of us have actually gotten for the Olympics over that game, right? That you could come in, like, hey, we've got some snacks. We don't have, like, top-tier gourmet, you know, five-star Michelin food, but we've got some snacks and some goodies for you. Like, this is a fun place. You know, when I first started coming to this church, I actually was in sixth grade. And there were some things, some really key things that made me feel like I belong. And they were my friends. Like, I knew on Sundays that when I came that there were people who knew me and cared about me and wanted to hang out with me. I knew that there was going to be some fun. We had this game every week. It was called Foursquare. And have you ever played Foursquare? I knew that Foursquare was going to be there every week I came in. So I would get in the line and we played Foursquare. And, you know, you make it the goal to be the king or the queen or whatever you want to say that last square is. And we had Foursquare. We had other games too, but I knew fun was going to be there. And then I knew food was going to be there. Three words that all start with the same letter, curious enough. I knew that we were going to have pizza every week. We had Wednesday nights at that point. And so I knew that we were going to have pizza every single week. And man, when I say like that was one of the places I felt the most like I belong, that was true. And like we had small groups and we had music and we had messages and all this kind of stuff. But everywhere I went as a part of this church, I felt like, man, I'm welcomed there. I belong. And here's something that's kind of interesting. We put these three words in the order that we do for a reason. I didn't even believe in Jesus yet. Like, I had a lot of questions about who God was. I thought that if there was a God, that he was really, really controlling. And he probably didn't like me much. That he was probably pretty angry with me. Because I knew, even as a sixth grader, like, there's some things that I've done that aren't so good. Like, that whole idea of sin that the Bible seems to talk about, I knew that I was a sinner. And so if God knew who I was and if he actually existed, then he was probably angry with me. And in the end, all he was trying to do was just control my life. That's kind of how I thought about God. But even before I knew who God was, before he saved me, I knew that I at least belonged with his people. And now looking back, I think over time, I started to realize like, hey, if I belong with his people, then maybe I actually belong with him too. And that's kind of our goal with belonging, is that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your family or your family structure, your economic status, if your family's rich or poor or somewhere in the middle, or what school you go to or what grade you're in or what kind of mental battles you're going through or all the changes that are going on in your life right now and you might feel so alone in them, like no matter what you're going through, we want you to know that you belong here. So that when you join us, and no matter what we're doing, you would find a place of like safety and refuge, and maybe like starts to look a little more like your hobbit hole here. We don't just have this idea in our heads and said, like, hey, this is, would be something that'd be great to pursue. Like, it didn't just come to us one day and we're like, oh, that's good, belonging. But this is something we actually feel like we see in the life of Jesus over and over and over again. And maybe one of the most basic places we see Jesus inviting people into life with him and giving them a place to belong is when he calls his 12 disciples. So if you want to turn again to Mark chapter 1, we're going to read just a few verses, talk about them, and then wrap up, and we'll go to discussion questions. But Jesus, he interacted with all sorts of people when he was on this earth. Remember, he lived for about 30 years, and he was kind of like low-key, kind of anonymous, kind of in the shadows a little bit, doing that whole carpenter thing and doing life with his family. And then his years of what we call public ministry, where now he's out and about, and he's doing some teaching, and we see all the miracles that he did, or we see at least some of them. But during these 3 years or so, he was performing a bunch of miracles. He was leading his 12 disciples, who were kind of some of his closest friends at the time. And he interacted with all sorts of different people. People who were of high class, people of low class, people that you weren't supposed to talk to, people that everybody wished they could be associated with. He healed men and women. He cast out demons. Like, he fed a bunch of people. He did all kinds of crazy things. One of the things that he did, though, is in really early on in his ministry was he was started to call his disciples, his best buddies, it seems like it turned out in the end, to follow him. And that's where we are here in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. It says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Kind of that famous phrase right there. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So here we got back to back four disciples called by Jesus. And really curious, what were they doing when Jesus called them to come follow him? What were they doing? They're fishing, all right, so they're fishermen, so which was probably their trade, or at the very least, they're like helping out in the family business, okay? It's four guys, and what do? This is kind of weird. Like, as soon as Jesus calls them, they just drop their stuff and they go. Or it says for these last two dudes, they leave their dad, right? So James and John leave their dad. They just get out of the boat, see you, dad, we're gonna go follow this dude. It's really weird. Why are they doing this? Jesus called a bunch of different people. He called, these guys were fishermen. He had one of his disciples, Matthew, was a tax collector. He had different people in his circle from different places in life. All of them were probably, I don't know if you realize this, when it comes to Jesus's 12 disciples, they were all probably around your age. Like, pretty much all of his disciples, it seems, were teenagers, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about. And one of the big deals here is Jesus wasn't going and like looking for the best of the best. Like, let me go look for the most qualified. Let me look for the guys who made all A's in their classes. Let me look for the guys who are already like succeeding in business or who are top of the class when it comes to what they know about the Bible. In fact, and maybe some of his disciples knew more than the others, but at least these guys right here, these four, one of the most likely reasons they are fishing is because they actually were nowhere near the top of their class. Like, little Jewish boys at the time, they would go kind of their first big portion of school. Like, pretty much the whole schooling was to learn the first five books of the Bible, or the Torah, the Pentateuch. They would learn the first five books of the Bible. And not just like learn it, like, hey, I know some things about it, I can make an A on the multiple choice quiz about it, but they would memorize the first five books of the Bible. And if they did that, and they did that really well, they got to go on to more schooling, and most of that was memorizing, and like the idea was, hey, get it in your mind, and it gets into your heart, and it shapes your life, and this was a really big deal. But for these guys, it doesn't seem like they got much past the first five books of the Bible. How do we know this? Because they were teenagers. They should have actually been doing more school if they were on their way to being like a well-studied Jewish boy. But it doesn't seem like they quite made it. And so instead of going on to more schooling and eventually The idea was, hey, if you do more schooling, then eventually you go follow a religious leader of the day who was called a rabbi. And this was kind of the thing that guys wanted to do. Like, the hope was for parents, hey, that my young boy would eventually grow up and become a religious leader, that he would become a rabbi himself. And instead of, like, you know, some of you guys want to be YouTubers, you know, or you want to be an athlete, or you want to be a musician, or you want to be an artist. Like, in the same way, whatever the thing is that you aspire to be, young Jewish boys, as crazy as it sounds, they were hoping that they would be a rabbi, that they would be a religious leader. And these guys had not met the cut. So maybe one of the reasons that they actually jump out of their boats and they leave their dad and they drop their nets and they drop everything they're doing is because they see in Jesus, who was a rabbi and is calling them to follow him, perhaps a second chance. A second chance at the dream that they hope to fulfill. Notice what I'm not saying is, like, they didn't immediately know, oh, that's the Son of God, let me go follow him. They just knew, hey, a rabbi's calling us. He's inviting us in. Let's go and follow him. Let's drop everything because this might be our last chance. Who's ever even heard of getting a second chance at this thing to begin with? Why are we talking about this? Because, again, Jesus didn't go to the most qualified. Like, I think sometimes, especially when I thought of God when I was in middle school, I thought that God was only for, like, the top tier people. He was only for the smartest. He was only for the sharpest. He was only for, like, the good kids, the best of the best kids. And I thought that if there was a God, that he probably wasn't for me. And yet here we see Jesus. He's not discriminating based on their accomplishments, what they've done or what they haven't done. He's not judging them based on who their family is and where they come from, their background. He's not even, it seems like, shaken off too much by the smell. Like, fishing is a smelly business, right? He's calling these smelly fishermen to come follow him. Jesus is someone, God is a being who has his arms wide open for all of us. And there seems to be something. Jesus didn't just do this with his disciples who came from different places, but there were people that he interacted with who had contagious diseases, illnesses. People who had been sick for years and years, Jesus welcomed them. People who were sinners, who were labeled in society as outcasts, like nobody talks with them. Jesus would not just talk with them, but eat with them, which was one of the most intimate things you could do, sit at a table with people during this time. People who were known as thieves on the other end of the spectrum in society, tax collectors, were known as, like, thieves and scum. And nobody wanted to associate with them, even though they were extremely wealthy. And Jesus, there's this one guy named Zacchaeus who Jesus says, hey, Zach, I'm coming over to your house tonight. Everywhere Jesus went, it didn't matter who you were, who you were with, where you're from, what you looked like, what you were struggling with. But Jesus seemed to welcome you in with open arms and let you know, like, you belong with me. And as we go on and we read over the next months and years together, you're going to see this over and over again in the life of Jesus. But it's such a pattern, such a reality, that when we considered, hey, what's our vision? What are we going after with students? We realized, hey, belonging has to be the first. Not even simply because it showed up so much, but we realized, like, hey, there's a reason it shows up so much. It's because every person in the core of who we are wants a place to belong. We need it. And maybe some of you are like, no, I'm a lone wolf, man. What's the word for that now? Sigma, right? Is that right? Am I tracking with you? Like, hey, I'm a lone wolf. I just do my own thing. I do my own thing. Like, it's okay for me to be on my own. It's okay for me to be a little lonely sometimes. But guys, the truth is, at the core of who we are, we all want to be known by someone and loved by someone. And in return, we actually have this desire to know and love others as well. And there's no one who can know us and love us in the same way that God does. We all have this deep desire for belonging. And so our hope and our prayer here is that you might find that in this church, that you might find that in this youth group. If you've been with us for any length of time and you've already found that, here's kind of the challenge to you. is that you might now help somebody else find that same sense of belonging. That if you come here and you're genuinely excited to be here on Sundays and you've got your crew and you know, like, man, when I show up, here's what it's going to be and I can't wait to be there. Well, man, what if you made space for somebody else to experience that as well? And so instead of just like making a circle with your friends, you like opened it up a little bit and invited other people in. If you already have a sense of belonging, what does it look like for you to invite somebody else into that as well? If you're not there yet, you're like a little unsure, like, hey, this is my first week, or I've only been here for so long. Like, I don't really know that I have my people. I don't know quite yet that I belong here. Our prayer and our hope is obviously that you do, but might I encourage you, like, hey, keep taking some steps forward. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it means like you do actually have to open up and like share with somebody, hey, here's my name, here's where I go to school, here's some things that I'm interested in. Maybe that happens in your small group, or maybe it happens while we're out hanging out in the cafe. But would you kind of take some steps and give it a chance before you just hold up a hand and say, nah, that thing just wasn't for me. I think that if you do that, you might find, just like I did, that this is a place where you can belong. In the end, the whole idea of belonging is that you belong here. You belong here at this church with God's people, with these people. And that ultimately, that as you find that you belong here, that you might see, hey, maybe I actually belong with God too. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this church and this ministry. God, that so many years ago, you used the people who came before me and showed me what belonging meant and showed me that, Lord, if I can come to a place like this and belong with people who claim to be people of God, that maybe there's a chance that I could belong with the God of the universe himself. And so, Lord, I pray for students in this room that same thing may be true, that if they're unsure about church and they're unsure about you, that they may at least find Sunday mornings and things like Epic and the parties and small groups and all the fun things that we do, that they might find belonging there, and that might ultimately lead to realizing that maybe they belong with you too, and that might change the trajectory of their life forever. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.